You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
When I was 15 years old, I was sexually abused. 60 seconds changed my life. And I didn't tell anybody for 22 years. You're looking at somebody who's on TBN, on Daystar, 100 million people a night, quarter of a billion people a night on some networks, and I could not get off of my couch. I was so angry. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you do not deal with your emotions will deal with you. At 17 years old, I failed PE in high school. People say, there's no way to fail PE. There is a way to fail PE. I did it. Anybody here failed PE? Don't lie, God's watching. We're probably cousins. I lied more than I told the truth. Anybody relate? I lied so much you had to catch me telling the truth. Yeah, we really are cousins. What's your name? At 21 years old, I'd been in church every time the doors were open. I went to Christian school, had a Christian home. It was religious. It was not a relationship. Know the difference? Religion tells you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. Never in the Word of God does it ever say, I invite you to have a personal religion with my son. It talks a lot about relationship though, right? At 21 years old, I went to God and I said this, a God I did not know from Adam, a God I didn't even know existed, and certainly a God I did not know even if he heard my voice. And I said this, God, A, I don't think you're real. B, I feel stupid talking to the wind. But if by chance I'm wrong and you are real, I'm going to ask you to prove it to me because I don't think you can. Don't ever, under any circumstances, ask God, the creator of the universe, to prove to you that he's real unless you're ready for an encounter of the first kind. 2 weeks went by. I forgot I'd even prayed that prayer. And as I am sitting in my office, I'd been at lunch. I was dialing a phone. Literally off behind me to my left, I heard an audible voice say to me two words that would thereafter change the very course of my life. It was my defining moment. For some of you tonight, you're going to have that defining moment. For some of you tonight, you're going to hear that still small voice that still speaks. I'm in that office, I'm dialing this phone, not bothering anyone, and suddenly I heard, call mom. Call mom. I did not say what if. If you say what if to God, you're actually saying, nah, I'll do it later. And delays equal denial. So I immediately hit my second line in my office, dialed 344-7443. The phone rang six times, seven times. On the eighth ring, my mother answered the telephone. And the instant that she said hello, I knew something was not right. Her voice was slurred. She was disoriented. She did not sound like herself. In that instant in time when God said to me, call mom, and I obeyed, my mother, hear me, was attempting suicide. She was dying. And I could hear the life leave her voice. I did not come all the way to Fort Worth, Texas from Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I live, to talk with you as kids. I'm way too busy for that. I came to talk with you as young people who have the ability to change society as we know it, if you choose to live by faith, to stand on the word and to call those things that be not as though they were. If you want to just have somebody come here and, you know, talk about whatever, that's wonderful. That's just not me. I invest my time with teenagers. Now notice, I didn't say I spend my time with you. I'm way too busy for that. You spend for the immediate, you invest for the long term. It's a seed that I'll sow into your life tonight, right? And if you have enough of whatever faith to take that seed, let it drop down into the soil of your heart, guess what? Your life can change. Not because I was here, but because the word that I'm gonna will change. Why? That word will not return void. So I get out of my office, get into my car, drive up Interstate 75, and on the way to the hospital, to my parents' home, I said this prayer, I cannot help my mom, but you can. Didn't sound too religious, did it? The part I didn't tell you was I said, help. I just asked. How many of you tonight just need to ask God to help? You see, you can put these faces on, you can look a great way, you can dress a certain way, but what you can't hide to somebody who's anointed to talk with you all, you can't hide the pain. God's given me an anointing to see it. Well, I don't understand that. Well, you don't have to understand it. Just believe me, I know what I'm talking about. If you're a doctor, you know medicine. If you're an attorney, you know the law. If you're in construction, you know how to build. If you're me, you know you. I have spent a lot of my life. Somebody should have just said right there, I thought you said you didn't spend. I just tested you. All of you failed. I have invested the last 20 years, 7 months, and 3 days of my life talking to people your age. Before you were born, I was doing this. Just to put it in perspective. Help, God, I can't save my mom, but you can. I drove into my parents' neighborhood. I looked at their home. From the outside in, everything looked fine. It was safe, secure, probably like where you live. But from the inside out, I wondered what was really going on because my mom was dying. I see hundreds of thousands of people. From the outside in, they appear to have it all together. But from the inside out, how many of us tonight are in our own private wars and nobody knows what's going on? You see, you can do a lot of running, but you can't outrun the love of God. You can do a lot of hiding, but you can never hide from that still small voice that knows how to tap you on the heart and go, I'm still here. I promised you I'd never leave you. That day, I got to my parents' home. I beat on the door at my parents' home. My mom came down some stairs. She was barely alive at this point. She fell into my arms. I picked her up. I carried her to her car, drove her back down that same interstate to a place called Park Ridge Hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And on the way to the hospital, she said to me one sentence. She says, Dean, I cannot be dying. I said, Mom, hang on. You're not going to die, but you're going to have to choose to live. Choose you this day. Blessing or cursing. Life or death. Your choices, ladies and gentlemen, create your circumstances. Well, I don't like my present circumstances. Check your choices. Well, I failed that test. You probably didn't study. This isn't rocket science. Well, she's pregnant. You slept with her. Next. I can't believe you'd say that. Well, buy the CD, hit rewind, hit play. You can hear it all you want to hear. Are you mad? No, just real passionate. Why? Because you're the prize. You have, listen, billions with a B are spent on your generation every year trying to get you to buy something. Marketing these days is almost 95% to you. That day, 20-something years ago, as I'm driving my mom to the hospital, I get her to the hospital. Doctors worked with her as she was rushed into the emergency room. 45 minutes, I stood there with my dad, not knowing if she was dead or alive, wondering, what did I just experience? And then here comes this doctor. I will never forget what he said. Mr. Sykes, to my dad, there is not one medical reason to explain to you what I'm getting ready to say. It is a, quote, miracle of God. Your wife made it. She's fine. You can go see her. And I stood there going, you got to be kidding. You're real. And my dad said, you want to go see your mom? I said, no, sir, not right now. He said, I understand. I thought, well, with all due respect, no, you really don't. Because, you see, today I was in my office not bothering anybody. And God, the one who created all of this, took a moment out of his life and said for me to call my mom, your wife. And when I did that, she was killing herself. So, no, I don't think. And now I've got a doctor telling you it was God who saved her. I said, I need a little bit of time. And I went around this corner. I could take you to where I stood. And I leaned up against this wall, this long corridor of Park Ridge Hospital. And man, did I have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. And he said, hey, Dino. Yes, sir. He calls me Dino. Yes, sir. I got something I want you to do. Yes, sir. Are you interested? I am now. I want you to go speak. I don't know how. Wasn't the question. I'll mess up. Yep. I don't know what to say. I'll give you the words. I just want you to be available and obedient. I said, all right, God, I'll go. That was 1,900 and something events ago, 8 countries ago, 16 books that I've written ago, billions on television ago, all because I said yes, and he took it from there. You see, I can show you in the best-selling book of all times where a 7-year-old was king. You're behind. Where an 8-year-old was king, where a 14-year-old was king. What's the magic age? When you get it together. What's the moment when you say, I'm ready to take this thing called life seriously and stop playing games? Now, here's where I'm going to get real. I was going to have you go back and sit down, but no, I think I'm just going to have you sit right here with me. Those of you who are back there, get ready. You're going to be moving. Well, I don't want to move. Well, sit there like on a bump on a log and miss God. This is the most important thing I'll do tonight. Here we go. Ready? What you don't know about our ministry is the gift that God's given me is the prophetic. And he has shown me so much in the last 20 minutes of me just looking at you where I can see you. And what happens is when I begin to operate in that gift, everybody back there runs to the front because they want a word from God. And I'll get through ministering to half a crowd and I'll go, okay, let's go. And I'll turn around and here's the other half of the crowd. And they're like, well, where were y'all 30 minutes ago? Well, I wanted to see if it was real, man. It's real. It's real. Do you know what the number one issue is that I encounter on the road in high schools across America is? Suicide among teenagers. Isn't it interesting that 20-something years ago, God used me to help my mom stay alive, come forward 20-something years, and tonight, he's going to allow me to be used to help some of you stay with us. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is where you choose to spend eternity. I mean, it's a choice. Absolutely, it's a choice. Well, why doesn't God just make us? He loves us too much. You see, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if I could talk you into something, somebody so much better than me could talk you out of it. You understand that? I'm going to ask you some questions, and then I'm going to do what God told me to do. Okay? Here's the first question. And I don't need you to bow your heads. I don't need you to close your eyes. I want everybody up looking around. Why? Why not? Religion says bow your head, close your eyes. And it's okay to do that if that's what you want to do. But I'm like, man, listen, this is the safest place you'll ever be right now. Everybody here is family or about to be. Anybody going to hell? Well, surely there are. I mean, crowd this size, 600 students. If tonight was the last night of your life, listen, I've gotten the phone calls. The schools you've seen on television, I've spoken when, after they've had shootings. They've called me and said, would you come speak to our students? One 15-year-old walked into a school, had a book bag over his back, had 1,200 bullets and 5 guns. A student body of 600. Do the math. That's 2 bullets for every student. The devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus came, what? To give life and life more abundantly. If you don't think the devil has a plan for your life, you're wrong. He does. If you think that everybody in this room is saved, I don't. Why would you say that? Because the Spirit of God's already told me. There's not. There's many here. So I'll do it the way the Lord tells me to do it. Close your eyes. We won't do it my way tonight. Close your eyes. See, I'm just so anti-religion that I think it stinks in the nostrils of God. But what you're getting ready to sense is God's Spirit move across this room. If tonight was the last night of your life and this thing called life came to an abrupt end, do you know that you know that you know that you would spend your eternity in heaven? Because if the answer to that question is no, then the only other answer is hell. I'm going to count to 3. And if you would say to me, Dean, I know I'm not saved. I want to make that choice tonight. When I get to 3, I want you to shoot your hand straight up in the air. Nobody's going to point you out. Nobody's going to come running over to you. This is between you and God. 1, don't let pride stop you. 2, you see, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. 1, 2, 3, hands up. Well, dear God, where were you when I asked you a few minutes ago? They're everywhere. Put them down. That was about, just in the front row, there was about 80 people right here on the front. Okay. Second question I'm going to ask you is this. If you would say to me, Dean, I know I'm saved, but I'm really compromising. I mean, we've all sinned and fallen short. I get that part. I'm saying if you know that you know that you know that you're really missing God and you're doing it on purpose and you're ready tonight to leave whatever it is at the altar and you would say to me, Dean, I'm ready to stop compromising. I'm ready to take this step of faith and live for God irrespective of what my friends think or say. I'm going to be the one who sets the example for him. 1, 2, 3, hands. Thank you. You can put them down. For those who are in leadership here, that was 80% of the crowd. Now, here we go. Here, the final 2 questions the Lord asked me to ask you tonight. Suicide is built in 3s. A person will think about it. That person will then talk about it. And if not stopped, that person will then attempt it. Every 40 seconds, someone on this planet takes his or her own life. And for every 1 person who does it, 20 others attempt to do so. If you could just count from 1 to 40 right now, statistically speaking, 1 person just ended their life. That's 1 million people a year doing it, 20 million people a year worldwide attempting it. God's given me an assignment to do something about it. Proverbs 24:11 says this,
Deliver those who are drawn toward death. Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. Listen, if you're being drawn toward death, that's not the Holy Ghost drawing you. I tell you teenagers all the time, God does not need your help getting you to heaven. He knows when it's time for you to go. Job 33:4 tells us this. The Spirit of God made you, and the breath of the Almighty gave you life. Who made you? The Holy Ghost. Where'd your first breath come from? The same breath that jump-started Adam when all this began. That same breath is inside of you tonight. So that takes away the excuse. It says, well, I was a mistake. I should have never been born. Lie. So here it is. I know this takes a lot of courage, but I'm going to ask you to just take the step and say, okay, that's me you're talking about. When I get to three, if suicide is a real option for you, listen, some of you have a pounding in the center of your chest right now. That's not me. That's the Spirit of God saying, please pay attention. It is a spirit that has been assigned to take you out. When I get to three, if that's you, thinking about it, talking about it, or maybe you've already attempted it. I was in North Dakota, and a young lady who was the captain of the cheerleading squad said to me, I'm bulimic and anorexic. Nobody even knows it. And she was in a battle. I was in Charleston, South Carolina. A young man said the shotgun was in my mouth. I had already written the note to my parents. But something stopped me from pulling that trigger and told me to get to this meeting. And he looked at me and he says, Dean, I don't want to die. On the count of three, I could tell you so many stories of young people who've told me how their lives were changed. On the count of three, maybe you've been cutting yourself, one. Maybe you've written the note, two. Maybe you've got it all planned, but tonight, God sent me here to stop it by the power of His Word. On the count of three, if suicide is your option, one, two, three, hands up. Golly. Thank you for being honest. Leave them up. Nobody's looking around. You can put them down. That's a lot of hands. It's a big deal. It takes a lot of courage to raise your hand and say, hey, I really don't want to live anymore. But I got some good news for you. God wouldn't bring me here and Him open up that issue and then not deal with it, right? So here's how we're going to deal with all of this tonight. Brother Copeland taught me a long time ago about the power of words. You get saved by opening your mouth and saying what you believe. So what I always like to do at this point in my time with people is ask you to say a very simple, non-religious prayer, and I'll lead us, but I'd like for you to say it out loud, and I'd like for everyone to pray this, because there were so many hands, I don't know who's doing what. Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I obey your word. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that you raised Jesus from the grave. Jesus, tonight, right here, right now, come live in my heart. Let's settle this. You're mine. I'm yours. Pretty simple, huh? Father, for those who are dealing with compromise, I ask you to so invade their lives and their decision-making process that what they were doing before they walked into this convention, they will never do again. And according to your word in Nahum chapter 1, verse 9, that affliction will not rise up against them a second time. Now, Father, I want to talk to you about those who raised their hand who said, I don't want to live anymore. According to Matthew 16:19, you've given us the authority to what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So we take authority right now, Father, in Jesus' name, and we bind that spirit of death off of those who raised their hands and those who didn't but should have. And we release, Father, the power of life that comes from you. And we declare and believe that in Jesus' name, that spirit of death, that spirit of suicide, that spirit of grief can no longer operate in these students' lives, because greater is He that's here right now, God. Your spirit is here, and we yield to you, sir. In Jesus' name. Now, everyone look right here. The other thing the Lord told me to talk about tonight very quickly is this. I was in Seattle, Washington speaking, and I talked about forgiveness. And a guy from Canada was there who had heard me speak, and he walked up to me, this big old burly guy, and he put his arms around me and he was crying, and he said, "You're the only guy that made me cry this weekend." I said, "I didn't mean to make you cry." He said, "I got to go home after hearing what you said and forgive two people." I said, "Who?" "My dead dad, who never taught me anything, and the drunk driver who killed my son." I then flew across the country to Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, and I talked about forgiveness. And this little lady walked up to me and she says, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You know that thing that happened to you when you were 15? I said, "The abuse." She said, "Yeah." She said, "It happened to me." She said, "I've never told anybody." I said, "You've never told anybody?" "Oh, thank you, Lord." Listen, there are people right now who are dealing with abuse you've never told anybody. How do you know that? The Holy Ghost just told me. I can spot you. The Lord puts a spotlight on. And I would never embarrass you, but he tells me, he shows me who to go to in the realm of the Spirit. I can all I can see are bright lights. I know who you are, though. Listen, we have to learn how to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, the Word teaches us we will not be forgiven. And if we're not forgiven, guess what we have operating in our life? A cycle of death, because the wages of sin is death. I've not read you one scripture tonight. What's in you better come out of you. You're looking at somebody who at 15,000 feet in my airplane lost the right engine in flight. That'll wake you up. 10 days later, I was in another airplane, lost the left engine at 6,000 feet. In 10 days, I lost two airplane engines on two different airplanes. God's trying to get you. No, the devil was trying to do that. A man walked up to me at this convention in Valley Forge, and he said, "I've got to talk to you." I said, "Okay." He said, "How do I forgive myself?" He begins to cry, and he said, "My son is 16 years old. He's my best friend. We were hunting." He says, "Dean, we love to hunt together." He said, "I accidentally shot and killed my own son." I could sit here tonight and tell you so many stories, but let me just share this with you. 22 years after, remember I told you 30 minutes ago I'd been abused at 15? 22 years later, I was in a Home Depot and walked right into the person who had abused me. And my life shut down. I became so angry, I almost killed one of our dogs with my bare hands. I was mean to my wife, to our children. I'd go on stage and minister, and God would bless it. I'd walk off stage and nobody wanted to be around me. At one point, I couldn't even get off my couch. This is real stuff. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can play the game. See, I became so plastic in life that because I had been abused and didn't deal with it, I created an image that I thought you would like because I didn't like me. And if I didn't like me, there's no way you could like me. And so I built this image, and I was on stage, and I would dress a certain way and drive a certain thing and wear a certain kind of whatever, and built this image that everybody loved, but on the inside I was crumbling. And one day I said to myself, and I said to God, "You know what? I'm just going to be me. And if they don't like me, okay. My wife likes me, my three children like me, and my German Shepherd, King Cavalier, Schnauzer, and English Bulldog all like me. In fact, they think I'm the fourth part of the Trinity." And God said, "I've been waiting on you to get to this point a long time." You know what I call it? Free to be me. There's a song in there somewhere. I chose to forgive the one who hurt me. And when I chose to forgive, guess what? I was free. And when I got free, I started discovering things I liked. I started discovering things I didn't like. I just became real. And when you become real, that's when God can use you. So here's what I'm going to do in my remaining time. If you'll allow me, if you just don't unplug, stay full of faith, stay tapped in, I'm going to do what God told me to do earlier today when I was getting ready for this, okay? Now, in a crowd this size, there's no way I'm going to get to everybody, okay? Just understand that. And if I don't come to you, it's not because God doesn't have something for you. He may want to talk to you privately just between you and Him later tonight. Well, God doesn't, why didn't He give me a word? He's given you a word the last 45 minutes. And He told me to start with you, the guy shaking his head like this. Yeah, you. You have an anointing to lead. I see a billboard behind you that says leadership. You know the number one way to find out if you're really leading anybody? Look over your shoulder and see if anybody's following. I didn't mean really do that. But that is the way. Start looking for ways to serve. Before I ever had my own ministry, I worked with a guy named Phil Driscoll. And I carried his trumpets all over this planet for years. And God taught me ministry through Phil. Find somebody that you can plug into and serve. And watch what God has in store for you. People follow you because, just because. To whom much is given, much is required. You have, the Lord just spoke to me, you have multiple talents. Don't be afraid to step out in faith and use them. Never live your life by a prophetic word alone. Put it on a shelf. Let God confirm it with two or three witnesses. He's fully capable of doing that. You're going to preach. I just heard the Holy Ghost. My God. You will fill up stadiums. People will come to hear the word of God coming through you. It's a confirmation. Thank you. God knows, doesn't He? You are going to preach. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Do you know anything about computers? Kind of. Technology? You're smart. The Lord tells me you're smart. Here's the deal. Study to show yourself approved. You don't have to measure up to God's standard by doing. He just wants you to be. A lot of people that I encounter on the road are human doings. They're always doing, trying to please God in a certain way, and they feel like God has His checklist. Well, I prayed today, I fasted today, I did this. Hey, guess not who God is. God loves you because, period. 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 Life is to be lived. Life is to be lived. Your eyes tell me the whole story. There's something very precious about you. Very precious. There's a sweet anointing on you. And I see the enemy has tried to sell you a bunch of lies. And I see there's three people in your life that don't need to be in your life, I hear the Lord saying. He'll show you who they are if you don't already know. But guard your heart, the Bible says, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. What's God called you to do? Don't say, I don't know. You do know. What is it? Just say it. Raise your hands. I'm coming down here. I might need an usher or two. Here they come. Father. Oh, God, there He is. There He is. Just relax. There He is. All of a sudden, when this happens, this is Father, get a passport. You're going to be traveling. Don't give up on life. Don't give up. Watch her. She's going. I've watched you all night long. Out of a crowd of this many people, it's like God's had a spotlight you on throughout the entire night. And I'm telling you, it is not by might. It's not by power. It is by His Spirit that you're going to win big. Stop trying. Don't compare yourself. Don't go, well, I didn't do that. It's acceptable according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. What do you think about tonight so far? Right answer. Lord, show her. Show her, Father. Show her what? She knows. You believe any of this is real? Do I look stupid to you?
No.
Do you believe it's real? What's God called you to do? Where are you going to go? Now raise your hands, please. Father, the protection of Psalm 91, the favor of Psalm 512, the wisdom of Proverbs 21, the finances of Matthew 19:29. You better know the word, ladies and gentlemen. Right? You're serious. God's got a serious assignment for you. It's 7 years in duration. Starts today. Do not overlook the smallest of details. Be ready to write it. Thank you, Lord. Between 2 a.m. and 4:37 a.m. in the next 3 days, the Spirit of God will wake you up. You may already be awake, and He's going to give you a sentence. Write it down. If you're asleep, don't think it's bad pizza. Wake up, okay? Raise your hands. Father, the anointing to hear. Teach, my Lord, teach. Does that mean anything to you? I got right to you, and the Holy Ghost jumped on the inside of me and said, tell her to teach. 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 Your eyes tell me the story. They're a reflection of the soul. Hungry for God. Hungry for God. Watch. Hungry for God. Desperate to hear from the Holy Ghost, aren't you? You're just desperate to. You'll do whatever God tells you to do. What you compromise to gain, you will lose. Does that make any sense to you? Don't ignore it. What are you thinking? What? How's your relationship with your dad? Yeah. You know what? Hey, I met a guy backstage. Where'd he go? I think he's your dad. Is he back there? Come here. I don't remember his name. Who is it? Yeah, Steve. Is he here still? Can you come here, please, sir? I'm right here. The Holy Ghost wanted me to have you come out. This young man needs the hug of a father. He needs the hug of a father. Why would you do that? The Lord told me to. You better know how to obey. Do you want to live? Do you want to live? Why would the enemy try so hard to tell you lies for so long? Lord, the anointing to hear the truth. Are you saved? You're going to do some serious things for God. How old are you? 12. Time you're 17, you won't recognize life. Good stuff. Good stuff. How would you describe yourself? Happy? Sad? Full of hope? Depressed? How would you describe yourself? Say it. Yeah. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Does that make sense? Father, take the sadness out. God, there you are, Jesus. It's okay. There he is. That's him right there, sweetheart. Lord, give her joy. Joy. Is there an adult lady here by chance? This always happens. Come here. I can't leave her by herself. She's really upset, but God's going to touch her some more. But I need her to lay. Here she comes. Here she comes. Thank you for being honest. Where'd she go? There you go. Come here, honey. Love on her a little bit. What are you thinking, man? Music, huh? Want to play? Do you produce? Do you write? Do you play? Is it your God? Is it your God? You realize the questions I'm asking, I'm not asking them. The Holy Ghost is speaking through me. Is it your God? If it's not, it's not. I'm just asking what I'm hearing on the inside. Amen. There's two songs coming to you. And you're going to write them, man. And they're going to be just between you and Jesus. And one of them talks about how He's your God, not your music. The heel of your foot has a job. It is to crush the neck of the enemy. Stand on Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Put the enemy under your heel and you march forward with the assignment God's going to give you that's going to be so incredibly clear. It'll be like You'll just see it. It's coming. It's coming. I can't pass you by. That's what the Lord just told me to tell you. Out of all of these people, He heard your cry. Thank you, Father. You're needed. You're necessary. There He is. There He is. There He is. There He is. What do you do? What do you like to do? What would you like to do? We're going to really start making some noise here. Come this way. Yeah. The Lord just spoke to me, said, there's creative design on the inside of you. Don't pattern yourself out to other people. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Before you start to do anything, just stop and pray and go, Lord, what do you want me to do? And watch Him direct your steps in a way that will astound the doubter. I hear the Lord saying, what about that? That's good, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
15.
You serving God?
Yes, sir.
What do you think He wants you to do with your life?
I don't know.
Sure you do. If God was standing here right now and you could see Him and He said, the answer is yes, now what's your question? What would you say, God, can I do this for you? What would it be? That's what He wants you to think about. You, right there. Raise your hands. God sent me. You're why I came. You're why I came. You understand that? You don't have to understand it. God just spoke to me. Now, I came to share with everybody, but you're the reason. He knew you would be here. He knew what the Lord would, He knew what He would want me to have to say to you. This ends right now. Do you understand? Father, in the name of Jesus, the authority, Father, that you've placed within me to deal with this, I deal with this now. And I say in Jesus' name, no more. Do you have to fall down? Lord, no. Lord, no. You're an evangelist, aren't you? You, the guy throwing his hands up. I just love watching you. There's an evangelistic anointing on you. And you've been praying the whole time. Everywhere I've gone, I looked up and I've seen you just throwing those hands up, praying, and the Holy Ghost just going. Raise your hand. This is your moment. Lord Jesus, the Lord just said your greatest desire, the answer is yes right now. The answer is yes right now. Ooh, what are you thinking, man? Just tell me. What do you think He has planned for you? How old are you? Do you make good choices? Hang out with people that bring you up, not bring you down? You don't try. Either you do or you don't. It's yes or no. I already know the answer. That's why I'm asking the question. You're 15? Want to see 17? Take this seriously. There's a plan. Don't get scared by it. There's a plan. I see it. I see like landmines. And these landmines I see are relationships. And there's some bad ones out there. They're traps. Tonight, God just gave you a little warning that simply says, you don't have to go through the landmines. Over here, there's a narrow path. Take it. I got some really special people in your future, the Lord would say unto you. But I can't make you make choices. I can just prompt you. Don't ignore the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. If you do, you'll wish you hadn't. Are you working? Well, isn't that great? Do you like to travel? I heard the Lord say he's mobile.
You weren't expecting to get ministered to tonight, were you? The Lord just had me stop right here and say to you, there are many trips coming. Only go where I send you. Did I pray for you yet? I didn't? Or did I stop and talk to you like this? What do you think God wants you to do with your life? Raise your hands, please. Lord, the anointing that you've given me to travel, I ask that you... There he is right there. Whew. How old are you?
13.
There's a race being set before you, I hear the Lord saying. It's a race. You're well equipped to run it. Don't stop to smell the roses. Keep your eyes on the prize. The Bible says, this one thing I do, I press forward to the call, the prize. It's all singular. Do the one thing God's called you to do, and watch how your life just takes off. How old are you? What do you think God wants you to do with your life? Where? Where do you want to go? Mm-hmm. I saw you sitting. You had a skirt on. You had a headband, not like that. It was more of a cloth headband. I saw, it was probably, I think it was somewhere in Africa. I saw, God's going to give me the number. I saw 38 kids between the ages of 4 and 12 sitting at your feet. You're making this stuff up. You can't make this up. It'll happen in the next 36 months. She's like, dear God, go anywhere else. Just don't talk to me. Just, I'll do anything, God. Just don't let this guy stop right here. You had that look on your face. Now, whether you were thinking that or not, I don't know. Father, what's your greatest desire? You just stop. Yeah, you do. What's your greatest desire? How old are you?
17.
What's your greatest desire?
Go to South America.
And do what? Nothing will become dynamic until it first becomes specific, right? Get specific with God and watch his dynamics take over in your life. Just lead. Okay. Are you going to be here the next three nights?
Yes, sir.
What's tonight?
Tuesday.
So the next three nights will be Friday. By Friday night, Lord, don't let me say this. By Friday night, you will run around this building like your feet are on fire. The Holy Ghost will hit you. And when you do, if you don't obey, you'll stop something from happening that God wants to happen. He's going to use you. And the instant it hits your feet, just run. And when it does, when I'm telling you, when the fire of God hits, you think I'm kidding, when the fire of God hits your feet, if you'll run, this place will go ballistic. It'll be the key to the breakthrough that night. No pressure. Lord, tell me two more people. Then I got to finish up. Oh, you're one of them. That was as clear as a bell. Come here. How old are you, honey?
14.
Do you like life? Oh, please. Really? However much time you spend in the Word, if you'll increase it by 15 minutes a day for the next 2-3 weeks, God's setting you up for an encounter with His presence. It's a life-changing moment. One more person. Who is it, Lord? It's you. You. No, you. Raise your hands, please. Father. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. God is setting you up for an encounter of His love. Okay, everybody who'll just give me 10 more seconds, maybe 30 more at the most. Whew. I need your help on something. The ushers have something called the I Matter or the You Matter pledge. God's given me an assignment. It's to have 20 million people your age around the world sign this pledge. This pledge says, I choose to live and not end my life because God created me as an original. God created me for relationship, and God created me to fulfill a purpose. The ushers are going to give you one. I'm going to ask you to sign it right now. And then tear it off. You keep the top part. That's the pledge. It'll remind you of what you signed. Give us the bottom portion. I'll communicate with you. I have a t-shirt somewhere. I think it's on one of those. I think I left it backstage on that. There we go. Thank you, man. These things, I was not really surprised. I was just maybe surprised. These shirts, we sell for $10. They say, You Matter. And it's got our website address on it. And we have, I don't know, however many out there at our table. I would encourage you, become a walking billboard. You talk about a conversation starter? You matter. Now, I always sow one because, you know, I understand the principle of sowing and reaping. So who wants it? Oh, how can I deny that face right there? She was jumping for it. They're out there. They're $10. If you don't have $10, you want to just give something to get a t-shirt, oh, that's fine. Now, I don't know how we're going to do the pledge cards because I guess they're passing them out. But I want you to know tonight, you do matter. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not having a bad day. If you said that prayer tonight, that, hey, I'm saved now, I want you to find a leader and say, hey, that was me. In fact, Jeremy, are you still here? Is Jeremy still here? Cool. I'm going to turn over to Jeremy, and he can instruct you, because I know they want to certainly follow up with you with regards to all those who got saved tonight. For those of you who were dealing with the suicide, my email address is on the top part of the pledge. Nobody sees those emails except me. I get a lot of them, and I will answer you. Just tell me, we met at Southwest Believers, and I'll get it. I will respond to every email that's sent to me. And again, it doesn't go to a staff. It goes directly to me. Thank you so much for letting me come and be a part of what's happening this week. I love you, buddy. It's yours. God bless you all.
Thank you. 1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.